Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting Podcast. Visit our website at oalaig.org, where you will find links to prior podcasts from this meeting available in multiple formats. The opinions expressed on the Light a Candle Podcast are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Madison.
Hi. Hello, everybody. My name is Madison. I'm recovering from anorexia and bulimia.
Hi, Madison.
Hi. This is so official. Wow. Thank you for asking me to lead. This is a OG meeting, so I'm really honored to be of service and talk. You know, they say, like, in program, like, when you say yes to one lead, then you start getting asked to lead all the time. So I have two more leads this month, but I'm really grateful. I'm just going to talk about what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. And I definitely want to do questions, so that's going to be fun. So I just, for some stats, I've been in the rooms since 2017. And then July 8th, hopefully I'll hit 7 years. I'm on other programs as well. And this program has raised me. I came in at 19, I'm 26 now, and I feel like I've met the most amazing people and had, like, the biggest amount of wisdom shared with me, and I've grown up, and I'm really, really grateful for that. And ironically, I've grown up in New York City and LA. Like, that's where my recovery started, in New York, and now I'm here in LA. So I'm from the East Coast originally, and I had a healthy relationship with food and body, for sure. I was not born with this. I was definitely born with interesting thinking, for sure. But I had a very intuitive relationship with food and body. And if I look back on it now and do, like, an inventory, you know, like, my aunt, she would, like, drink iced tea for the week, you know, and that was, like, her diet. And then she would, like, go back to looking normal because she'd be starving. And so I definitely had, like, disordered eating around me. I have outside help, and a lot of what we're working on and talking about is, like, my mother relationship. And I came into another program because of an abusive management situation. And it's funny, I feel like most of the work I've done in that program has been around my mother. And also my eating disorder is kind of tied around my mom too, weirdly. And I grew up around a mother who had exceptional low self-esteem, was in toxic relationships, and I grew up with an absent dad. So I felt very lonely growing up, and I felt terminally unique, for sure. When I was 14, I got into modeling, and at first that was really fun because I was always tall and thin, just naturally, and I was bullied for it. And I finally felt unique. You know, I never got attention from my family. I'm an artist. I'm a creative. And that's how I found to feel special, was through the arts. And through excelling exceptionally in school. You know, I was the textbook anorexic, for sure. And so at first, it was a really fun thing. You know, I got to feel beautiful. And I got to have some attention on me. And that was kind of nice. When I turned 15, though, I started to work with a friend who was a couple years older in high school, and I became his muse, and he was the photographer. And at that time, I was naturally a size 2 and 5'8", healthy. I'm going to mention my period because that is a part of my story. It was sporadic because I was naturally thin, but it was fine. And he would show me pictures of sickly models and say that these models are successful, and if you want to be successful, you need to look like this. And so I thought, instead of, like, consulting maybe a doctor like my mom, I thought, I'm very headstrong, and if you say do this, you will get this thing, then I'm going to do it. So I started to slowly research, you know, what skinny people ate, and what a diet was, and what calories were, and what working out was like, you know, because I was in sports, but I didn't really know that that was like workout culture or anything. It was just a part of being a kid and growing up. So I basically developed an eating disorder. I remember the day exactly when I started my eating disorder. And I thought it was just some like silly little thing I was going to do to like just lose some weight to become a successful model. But what I didn't realize was this was going to become my best friend and my confidant and my sense of self-esteem and my escape. My eating disorder started with exercise bulimia. That's my main form of bulimia, is exercise bulimia. I had a brief stint with laxatives, but I didn't like it, so I stopped. But exercise was my first drug of choice. And I started working out 6 days a week, and I started to restrict, and the food of the list of foods I could have versus couldn't have was drastically different. And I became afraid of food, and I made food and exercise my higher power, and I lost weight very quickly, very rapidly, and I stopped getting my period. It got really bad. It got so bad where I was, I grew up going to church actually on my own accord, and the main reason I went was because I wanted to feel like, essentially I would cosplay. I felt so lonely in my household that I would pretend I was a part of the families in church, so I felt like I had a family, you know? And so I didn't even go for the God stuff. I just went for the community and the youth group, and I got really involved with the music, and I felt like I had purpose there. And I wouldn't go to youth group because I was so afraid entering the room that I would be tempted to have like one of the treats after, or I would get calories by entering the room. I mean, I was so scared of food and scared of gaining weight, and I was so sick so quickly. So fast forward a little bit, I tried treatment for a little bit. That is a part of my story. I tried treatment during my school break senior year. I hated it. I hated people with degrees thinking that they knew what an eating disorder was, which is why I love the rooms, and I've stayed, because there's just a level of vulnerability and depth that you get by calling someone and saying, like, hey, I don't want to eat dinner tonight, versus talking to someone with a degree who says, like, well, based on this paper, you should have this for dinner, or that's bad. It's like, no crap, it's bad, but it's deeper than that, you know? So I left treatment after the week. I found out my weight, and I doubled down on my eating disorder, you know, because that couldn't happen. And when I left school, I bought a one-way ticket to New York, and I wanted to make it as a model. And so I became what they would call a high-functioning anorexic and bulimic, where everything else was my problem except for my problem. I got a boyfriend, so I got to obsess about him, and I got to obsess about money and becoming an adult and having a career. But I wasn't addressing the problem, which was I was dying from an eating disorder, and I was so unfunctional as an adult. I couldn't keep a job. I couldn't sleep because I was so hungry that I would abuse melatonin, and I would be hallucinating on the train from, like, taking too much melatonin to try and sleep, but I couldn't because I was so hungry. So my life was a mess, and I was 18 in New York City and freaking miserable, like not enjoying my life. So finally, God did for me what I could not do for myself. And, you know, at this time I had like doctors telling me like I was pretty much in menopause at 18, 19 years old. And everyone around me was nervous and scared and sad for me. And I had my first ever runway show at Madison Square Garden in New York City, and I passed out. And that scared the crap out of me. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I was in the depths of my eating disorder, I did not care what was going on inside of me. I just cared about looking skinny. That's all I cared about. And so I didn't care if inside something was going wrong, but to actually pass out, that was the first time I realized, like, I could die from this thing. So my boyfriend at the time had a recovery center in California, funny enough. I didn't want to go because I didn't want to, one, spend money, which financial security is one of my defects of character, or something that I work on in this program and in other programs. So I Googled, like, free support groups for anorexics, because I knew I was anorexic. I had been diagnosed with anorexia. I didn't want to admit I was a bulimic. So actually when I first came in, I only identified as anorexic, because for me, bulimic was like, I don't know, like the stamp of an eating disorder or something. I just had so much judgment around it. I found the rooms. I actually found another program. I didn't come into OA first. It was a sort of like sister eating disorder program, specifically for anorexics and bulimics. And I came in, I sat in the back, and the girl at the front, who's still a fellow friend of mine, was sharing my story. And I immediately felt at home. You know, it was nice to hear my thoughts in my head being spoken out loud for the first time ever. And I don't know how to describe it. I guess I could call it God, but if you're new and don't know why you're here, I think for me, the biggest thing that kept me here was I knew that there was more to life than looking at a plate of food and knowing how many calories are on the plate, you know? I just knew there was more for me, but I just didn't know how to get there. And for the first time, I felt like, okay, this might actually help. This might actually work. I got a sponsor right away, and I did everything that woman told me. She was in TV, and she dressed super fabulous, and I wanted what she had. And she just had recovery from anorexia, which was insane to me that she could have 3 meals and not try and manipulate her body by doing that. So I would go to the meeting she told me to go to, and that meeting specifically they had fellowship after, and I would literally watch the women eat because I was amazed that they could just eat their meals and sit there and talk and not think about that the fact that they ate a full meal. I got a dietitian right away, which as a sponsor, I always tell my new sponsees to just get a dietitian. I had to relearn how to eat. And for me, that was how I worked my step one, was turning over my food, like letting a professional tell me how to eat, was me admitting my powerlessness against my food. And that's sort of how it started for me. I hit about a year and a half in New York, and then I finally moved to LA. That's when I joined another program because I had quit modeling and got into another industry, and then the person I started working with was abusive, so I got into another program. I was lying to my sponsor. I wasn't telling people what was going on, but oddly enough, that was when I finally surrendered in my program about a year and a half in, and I can't say the word, but I got the effits, that's what I call it, and I just stopped caring about how much I was eating, what I was eating. I ate whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. I gained weight. I got my period back. I didn't get my period for the first year and a half in recovery, naturally, but about 2 years in, I did. And I restored my body to sanity by just, like, fully surrendering, like, just not caring anymore. And I needed that. I think in the beginning I white-knuckled it, and if you're new and you are, whatever it takes, you know, like, whatever it takes to help you, you know. With some sponsees I've had before, like, I was so obsessed with their food recovery. And I would have my sponsor say, it's kind of like, yes, that does matter. Like, we want to get to physical sanity because that's how we get the clarity to really work the steps. But just work the steps. And so I got the physical sanity after probably getting to my ninth step, I think, is when I got the physical sanity. I switched sponsors. I got a new sponsor. And now I'm here. No, just kidding. it's been a lot. But I will say, I want to talk about God because I didn't have a spiritual practice, nor did I really work the steps understanding what a higher power was for me for my first 3 years of my recovery. Also, I don't say abstinence. I say sobriety just because I'm really good at abstaining as an anorexic. So I just say sobriety. It feels more free to me. I started meditating per the suggestion of my second sponsor, and I still do it to this day. I've actually added new types of meditations. Right now I'm sort of in like a spiritual experience, awakening, I guess you could call it. It's ongoing. But that's 3 years in is when I started to develop my relationship with a higher power. And it's changed my life, and it's changed my recovery in the sense of, oh, like that's how you get long-term recovery is not, I mean, yes, the food is important and yes, working the steps, but it's all centered around higher power, something greater than ourselves. And that took me, and I'm still working through it, but I feel like now in my recovery, I really am finally like, okay, like I don't want to do life if I have to just do it all on my own, you know? To get current, I'm a sponsor. I have a sponsee. I'm also the youth and outreach chair for the OALAIG board, which is a huge responsibility, but I'm really grateful to represent my youngins because I think, I don't know, I just, when I was a delegate, someone who was much, much older, with love I say this, wanted that position, and I was like, I feel called. I feel called. And I'm really grateful to be of service because, like, my sponsee is 20, and she has about a year and a half, and it just makes me think about, like, when I came in, and I'm just really grateful that, like, I feel like our recoveries kind of mimic each other in a way, or mirror each other in a way, you know? Like, she's so young, but she wants this, you know? She really wants to be well. And that's really all it takes. Like, if you're in the food, if you're in a behavior, if you had a slip, if you, you know, had a rough moment with the food, which is normal because we're addicts, duh, all that matters is getting back on. Getting back on and turning it over and being really honest and really, really, really trusting God. Really trusting your higher power. I love that we each have our own higher power, you know, because I'm so judgy. And I've been to plenty of meetings. I also I am in one industry, but I also still model. I'm actually a full-time model, which is the gag. It's so funny to me that I'm a full-time model because I had to quit modeling to get well, and now I'm back in it. And, of course, it comes with challenges. Of course, there's still certain behaviors that I'm working through. I think my biggest one is calorie counting. It still kind of haunts me. It comes up. It creeps in. It's so easy to do it. And what's ironic is, like, I love math. It's like, it just plagues me. And I'm also in another program based around numbers. It seems numbers are my thing, but which I loved in the beginning when it talked about time because I just love that reminder. Like, yeah, like, it's cool that I have time. I think, you know, they say, like, what, every year is, like, another second of pause, right? So I have 7 seconds. Woo. But it also, like, doesn't matter. Thank you. I see that. Yeah, I'm currently in a spiritual experience of I just really want to be well. I really want to be well. I really want to be my own best friend. I've been feeling so lonely, and I've been craving, and I've been really obsessive around the food lately. Sad, lonely, yearning, you know? I've been dating, and that's been bringing up a lot. I started this new form of therapy. I'm just really deep in a spiritual experience, and I don't think I could have been here if I was in the food and if I didn't have the recovery that I have. And I just want to say thank you for being here and for, like, all of these rooms and the recovery that you do have if you're new. It's so inspiring to see newcomers. And I'll just end with the best thing I've ever done is I've kept coming and I've kept learning and being curious about myself and my recovery. And I really think that's all it honestly takes. Even if it's rough and you're in the food or you're feeling like crap, that's okay. It's normal. And I really wear my abstinence or my sobriety like a loose garment, which I never thought I would as a perfectionist and as an anorexic and a bulimic. So I'm really grateful. I would like to stop so if people have questions, y'all can ask me some stuff. And that's it. Thank you. Okay. If anyone has questions, Heather.
Thank you so much, Madison. What is your relationship with exercise like now?
Ooh, that's a good question. Okay, so the question was, what is my relationship like with exercise now? It's imperfect. I worked out this morning and it didn't work for me, and I've been tired all day. But then sometimes it's amazing, and I do a workout and I actually feel good. I think that's been the hardest relationship. Food actually feels like quite normal to me. It's always the exercise is like the little gremlin. I have limits, so 3 to 4 times a week, max an hour is my limit. And I text my sponsor my plan before I work out. And then I text her when I start and when I end, and I bookend it. And that is nice because me as a perfectionist, for example, this morning the workout didn't work for me, so I was tired all day. I want to, like, restart my time and, like, beat myself up. And I'm that, like, I don't know, my willingness sometimes turns to desperation and I get scared if I do something wrong in recovery. But my sponsor reminds me, like, all that matters is I was honest, I turned it over, I didn't go over my limits, and I just gained new information that maybe that morning workout didn't work for me. And that's kind of nice. So that's my relationship. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your share. I was wondering if working the steps, I don't know if this question makes sense, but like, is working the steps in this program help with your practice of, or like, any, like, other anorexic behaviors, like, not just related to the food?
So the question was, has any of the steps I've worked help with other anorexic behaviors besides the food?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like spending money. I used to not even buy food if I was hungry out because I was so afraid of spending money, which is definitely like money anorexia for sure. And I have money, which is crazy. I think right now I'm in the efforts phase of spending money. It's really just a step one of, or step one, two, and three, I guess, because it's like I'm powerless over my fear of, I don't even know what when it comes to spending money. I think I'm fine, and I think I'm just going to spend the money and trust God that it's going to keep coming back. And it does. Like, it's really worked that thinking of, like, I'm just going to trust God around this. I know I'm going to make money. I know I'm going to be fine. I'm not going to be homeless around the street. And I keep booking work. I keep booking work. And I have a job that is no guarantee. Like, I could be out for months without it. But I've kept that mentality, and I keep booking consistently, and it's a freaking miracle. So, yeah, that's an example. Yeah.
How did you deal with, as you started to gain weight, how did you deal with the uncomfortness and things like that?
So the question was, how, when I started gaining weight, how did I deal with the uncomfortableness? I focused on getting my period, and I started to respect my body. Because growing up, my friends would talk about, like, period things, and I couldn't relate because I just wasn't getting my period. And I feel like I went through puberty later on in life, like, in my early 20s. And even now, I feel like I'm still learning my cycles and stuff and, like, my PMS symptoms. But what has helped is becoming, like, turning the perspective of being in awe of what my body can do. Like, it heals quicker now. Like, I can actually sleep through the night now. And feeling the benefits of that, like, having a spiritual practice, having a body restored to sanity with weight. Like, I'm just so in my life today and present. Like, night and day of the size I thought I had to be to have success. Also, what has helped too is with modeling specifically, like, I know I book jobs because of my personality, and I just cannot have that body and the personality and the light I have today. And that's what really I feel like helps me book jobs is, well, I know it is. I had one time a director called me and was like, hey, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm hanging out. He was like, want to come shoot this commercial really quick? And he said, we need someone with personality. There you go. So I booked the job. And so, yeah, that's how it helps me, just reframing it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you so much Can you talk about how you developed the concept of your higher power and what it is?
Sure. So the question was how I developed my concept of my higher power and what that is. My higher power is genderless. I like that. No pronouns, just like it's like an energy. It changes. I think when I started meditating, that's when I really got into like, oh, because I couldn't even sit for 3 minutes. And my meditations are 20 to 25 minutes twice a day. And then I also add more now. I'm usually meditating 1 to 2 hours a day, which is kind of crazy. But that had really helped me. And then I started combining that with prayer. And I started to see how more present I was in my life and just synchronicities and little moments. And that, to me, is God. I actually have, like, a list in my phone that I've been keeping lately because I'm in this, like, spiritual experience of all the synchronicities. And, like, to me, that's just how God shows up. It could be, like, repeating numbers or, like, I'm talking about someone and then they text me, like, whoa, that's crazy. That, to me, feels like spirituality. I do some outside stuff as well that's really helpful to me. I think, too, like, if you are struggling with that but you're curious... I committed stuff to my sponsors. So, like, I would once a week take myself on a date, and one of my dates was exploring some, like, outside stuff about spirituality. And I committed that to my sponsor, and I committed to buying one of the things and just spending, like, an hour just checking it out and playing and, like, researching with it. And so that's sort of how I work my spiritual practice, if that makes sense. I'm happy to talk more about specifics after, if you're curious. So, yeah.
What did your 8th and 9th steps look like?
That's a good question. What did my 8th and 9th steps look like? Okay, so when I started my 8th step, I was in New York City with my first sponsor, and I had 101 amends on my list. I swear, I had 101. I was 21 at the time. Like, I don't even know 101 people. I'm 21. So I moved to L.A., and I, my next sponsor, I asked, like, can we pick up where I am in the steps, 8 and 9? And she said, yeah. So I showed her my list. She said, I want you to go back and fix that list. I said, what do you mean? She said, okay, so I want you to go back on the list and actually ask yourself, do I have to make this as amends, or am I just beating myself up with this amends? Like, did I just feel guilty about this experience that happened and whatnot? So I went from 101 to, I think it was 3. Because, like, for example, one of the ones was, like, I called my high school choir teacher because I thought I was kind of mean to her. So I got her number off Facebook. I asked her for it. I called her. And I was like, I just want to apologize for being, like, kind of a bratty teen. And she's like, you don't have to call me, but I love seeing how your life is going. I hope you're doing well. And that was, like, I didn't need to call her. Like, that's a living amends. Like, just be better, you know? Like, be kinder. So I still am making the amends to myself. That, I think that's still, like, of course, like, the ongoing one. For sure is, like, always on every list for every program is me, myself, number one. So, yeah, that was my experience with my 8th and 9th stuff. Yeah. Oh, okay. The question was, what are the amends to myself look like? A fun thing that I did was I want to be in a relationship, and so I made a list of all the things I want to do with a partner, and then once a week I take myself out on that date, and I get creative with what I want to do with that partner, but then I just do it for myself. And that feels really nice. It feels like a little amends. That's an example. Thank you. Is that time? Okay, thank you.